If we look at the planted acres in the Southwest in 2007, and then this graphic is going to then also take a look at the departure from acres from 2006, I think what you see, if you look at Texas, we generally are about a 6 million acre planted state. And in 2007, we were close to 5 million acres. So we saw about a 24% reduction in acres in the state of Texas in 2007. As we look to Oklahoma, almost a 45% reduction in acres in the state of Oklahoma. They only had 175,000 acres generated. It's in the 300-some-odd-thousand acre range. Kansas has been hanging in that 100,000, a little more than that over the past several years, dropped to 50,000 acres in 2007, which represented a 57% reduction in their acreage. Randy, I've still got New Mexico in there on my slide, but New Mexico saw a reduction of about 13%. So when we look at the entire southwestern production region, we're looking at an overall reduction in acres of about 25%. Chris and Keith have already alluded to what may take place in 2008 in their respective regions, and I suspect that we may see a similar sort of situation in the Southwest, especially where we have the opportunity to plant wheat. If producers were able to get wheat seed this year, a lot of our acres have gone into to small grains. So we may see a reduction in 2008 as well. But you know, one thing to keep in mind about the Southwest is that we're going to grow cotton, especially in the high plains of Texas. It's what feeds the rural infrastructure there, and so it's difficult to see in my mind, a significant reduction across the high plains, although there's some pretty strong sorghum contracts out there. We do grow a little bit of peanut out there as well. And as I already alluded to, there may be some increase in small grains acreage, primarily wheat acreage out there as well. But we could see a decrease in our region as well as we move to 2008. If you take a little bit of a look here at the variety dynamic situation, and not quite as specific as what Dr. Main did, but If we look at that in the Southwest, if you look at Kansas, they're about 100% transgenic cotton acres. New Mexico about 95%, Oklahoma about 99%, and then Texas is about 87%. We still grow some conventional cottons, especially in the southern part of the state and some in the high plains as well. And in putting this together, I found it a little bit interesting doing some statistical crunching some numbers here. If we look at the adoption, if you will, of Roundup Ready Flex acres, and keep in mind this is only 2 years from commercialization, Kansas is about 51% Roundup Ready Flex or Roundup Ready Flex by Bolgard 2 acres, New Mexico about 47%, Oklahoma 77%, and Dr. Banks, if you're out at the audience, I really found that quite interesting. In Texas, we're 34%. So this issue of variety selection, where we're moving in the future, and of course, Keith has already alluded to the fact that we're going to be losing the Bolgard in the future. I think we'll probably see these numbers continue to escalate very quickly as growers try to get a better hand on some of the new germplasm that's going to be available and the new technologies associated with that. Looking at specific situations, if we look at Kansas and talking to Stu about the Kansas situation, they had good moisture basically early. It was a little bit cool as it was in the entire southwestern region in 2007, but good moisture through fruiting. Then it got a little dry, had some sporadic rainfall situations during the bowl filling period. From a statewide perspective, about 533 pounds per acre yield for Kansas. Oklahoma, somewhat similar to that, early season, it was very cool, but had a good moisture situation in the region. June, very high rainfall. They're heavier textured soils in Oklahoma, and we're looking at probably 75, maybe 80,000 acres of land mass that will be associated with that, the heavy textured clay soils. Got into a waterlogged condition, and those of us that have experienced waterlogged conditions know that you can get a lot of fruit shed. But fortunately, it was a very good fall, as you will see from in the future slides here, and they were able to make a pretty decent crop. Good fall weather conditions, statewide average of about 873 pounds. Well, when you look at Texas, it was a very different situation. Of course, Texas is a big state, and environmentally we had a very different situation, almost a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation as we looked across the region. I've drawn a line here to sort of bisects the state, and everything in the northern and western production region we'll talk about that was very different from what we had in our southern and eastern production regions. We look at the high plains, the conditions. We had a very cool and wet spring, had some difficulty getting planted at the optimum time, but then we had outstanding rainfall throughout the season. We were a little bit late because of the planting conditions, but fortunately Mother Nature blessed us with a very good August, a very good September, and a very good October, and because of that, we're looking at potentially the second largest crop ever in the state of Texas, with production of over 8 million bales, thanking the high plains and the rolling plains for most of that production. Fiber quality-wise, again, unprecedented in terms of what we've seen historically for the high plains production region. We're looking at 90% of our crop with a 21 or better grade and a leaf average of 2.3. Staple, 65% of 36 or longer. I mean, that's just phenomenal for what we're able to do in the western part of the state. So a very good situation in terms of yield and fiber quality. But the Mr. Hyde part of this was the eastern and southern part. We were very early. We were very cool early. We had a pretty good crop going in June. And then we just got inundated with just large amounts of rainfall in many counties in the coastal bend and upper Gulf Coast. Continued to rain. The crop was 3 to 5 weeks late. And in many cases where we have been used to making 2.5 to 3 bale cotton in some of these areas, we were lucky to make a bale or a bale and a quarter. When we look to some of the issues, I think, across the Southwest in the future, of course, and we've already talked about this, is picker use. But more specifically, looking at picker use in the high plains of Texas, we're starting to see more growers getting custom harvesters to come in to pick some of that high plains crop with pickers. We've always had a little bit out there, but I think we're probably going to see some more of that in the future. This fertility issue, you guys know what fertilizer is costing you today. I know that our ag economists are budgeting about 60 cents a pound for nitrogen in our crop budgets for 2008. All I can say is, guys, I encourage you to take a soil sample. I know a lot of you guys don't take samples for nitrogen. We do in the Southwest and encourage it. But the only diagnostic tool you've got in your arsenal to know what you've got in terms of fertility management is a soil test. And then the weed management common theme that you've heard here today. We are fortunate, I think, in the high plains of Texas that our producers have continued to use soil-applied herbicides. We need to continue to do that because that's going to be probably one of the main reasons for us to keep resistance issues from becoming a very serious problem in that part of the state.